is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to AFL.com.au. It's Road to the Draft. Cal Toomey in with me this afternoon, or this morning, rather. I'm used to doing this in the afternoon, Cal.
It's a bit different, isn't it? It's nice.
I have to readjust my clock. Yes, I know. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good to be back on the show and good to have a guest in today.
I know. I'm super excited. It is, of course, Western Bulldogs list manager, Sam Powell. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you for having me.
We love having guests in on the podcast. You're fairly new to your role, started in Jan. How's it all going so far?
It's going really well. Yeah, really exciting role starting in Jan. Yeah, obviously, you know, it takes a little bit to find the feet, but yep. Going really well now. I've got a really settled team and made some appointments there with Nick Austin coming on as a recruiting manager, which has been really positive. And, yeah, moving forward now into the champs, which is an exciting part of the year.
Yeah, it is an exciting time of the year. I know Cal's pumped for it.
It's been good. One game last weekend, and we'll get to that shortly. But, obviously, a familiar name to people at the Dogs. You obviously played 84 games for the club between 2002 and 2007. Up to main draft there and played some footy for North Melbourne as well. What's it like being back there? I mean, you've spent some time at Carlton in between as well. How'd that prepare you for the role that you've got now?
It's really good to be back, sort of 10 years away from the Dogs. But during that time, going to North and then getting out of football for a few years and then back at Carlton, I still, you know, followed them pretty closely, you know, with a few close mates that were still running around. So, you know, definitely still felt that connection with the Dogs and, yeah, been really good to be back there. So, yeah, the role at Carlton was quite a broad role, but prepared me well in a lot of ways for the list management role.
You did a bit of everything there, didn't you?
It was, yeah. It sort of probably initially started off as more an integrity role within the football department, which always sort of had the player contract side and salary cap side. And then over time, because I had the legal background, was doing a bit of legal work and company secretary, but then towards the end went more into list management and working really closely with Stephen Silvani.
And then there's some pro scouting involved in that too, obviously. And how does that prepare you for this position and what made you sort of jump at the chance at the Dogs when it arose?
Yeah, the passion was the footy side and the list side. So although I, you know, loved my time at Carlton and it was a difficult decision to leave, just having that pure focus on the list management, having that experience from both recruiting and salary cap and learning a lot off Steve, and I was just ready for that next step. And it was really exciting, obviously, to go through the process and knowing Chris Grant as well and the ability to work under him was also really appealing, knowing the person that he is.
There's been so much change at the Bulldogs in the recruiting list management sort of space. We've had Simon Dalrymple on the program before he left. Has it been quite challenging, I guess, since you've started?
I mean, there was a little bit to do just in terms of finalising that structure. So, it was changed, but probably more to a traditional list and recruiting structure at other clubs where there was a single point at the top that would oversee all list and recruiting where, you know, me not being there last year, sort of don't know the ins and outs exactly, but it was the list area and the recruiting area reporting separately into the head of football, the director of football, Chris Grant. So, you know, Granny obviously made the decision to restructure it, and it's been really positive. Obviously, the key focus early was, you know, that culture around our group and the environment that was being created within the list and recruiting function.
Obviously, a new addition has been Nick Austin as well as recruiting manager. Tell us about him and how he's going. I guess Bulldogs fans might not know that much about him yet. He's obviously new to the role.
Yeah, Nick's been fantastic. He commenced just before the start of the season, so, you know, it was late and it was the first few weeks were, you know, probably a real rush in sort of getting up the processes that we wanted set up before the start of the year. But he's been fantastic. He's come out of a really good system at Richmond. He was at Port Adelaide before that and the Dogs initially more in an opposition role probably 8 to 10 years ago. So he's got really good experience, really good grounding and come out of a really good system. So he's been a positive influence on the group.
How much are you breaking up your time between under 18 footy and AFL footy?
You know, mix it overall. And I mean, primarily my main focus was being on top of the Bulldogs list. So, you know, obviously going to all our Bulldogs games, or pretty much all our Bulldogs games and all our Footscray games with the VFL, and then mixing between under-18s and other AFL clubs. I mean, early in the year before school footy and when the TAC teams were at their strongest, you know, dedicated my time towards that. And during the champs, I'll do the same. And the back half of the year will probably just be depend on, you know, our strategy as that gets clearer in terms of trade free agency options and also the national draft.
Geez, you must be doing a lot of travelling.
There's a little bit at this time of year, yeah, with the champs. It's a busy time, but exciting with the champs that it really starts to fall into place.
Well, they started, and did you get down on the weekend or see any of the game?
Yeah, went over to Adelaide and watched the game, and obviously, yeah, it was pretty one-sided in the end. South Australia were pretty impressive, and a few of their players in particular, but, you know, we'll get a better indication, I suppose, over the course of the champs where it fits in, and WA have got Metro this week, so I'm sure they'll bounce back.
Just saying before, as we walked in, Jack Lukosh has kicked 4 goals, obviously. SA won by 89 points, and Isaac Rankin did some pretty special stuff in that game, didn't he?
He did, yeah. They're two, you know, very good players. Jack, you know, he's very athletic for his size and, you know, finishes really well and marks really well. And, yeah, Isaac, you know, did some really special things, a really good front and centre goal and some really good kicks inside 50.
At the moment, it's looking like you probably have a pick inside that top 10, the way things are going. Hopefully, for your sake, it turns around, but that's sort of how it's, I guess, the trajectory of it is at the moment. What's your take on this year's draft pool?
Yeah, I mean, it looks reasonably strong at the top end at the moment. So I'm sure, I mean, that first round's going to be pretty strong and, you know, all the clubs in the first round are you know, going to have the chance to pick up what we think will be a pretty good player. I mean, we'll get more indication sort of how deep it goes throughout the champs, but I suppose at the moment it's more that top end that looks strong, and I'm sure there's going to be good ones the whole way through. Mm. So it's you know, really working hard through the champs in the back half of the year to have a clear picture of what that final order looks like.
Now, you mentioned the top end talent. Someone who's had a lot to do with that is your brother Luke, who works at the AFL, head coach at the academy. Do you pick his brain much on these guys and speak to him about sort of the top end talent?
Yeah, absolutely. About, I mean, all the kids, mainly the ones in the academy. It'd probably be no different to any other club, really. That you know, we utilise all the resources that are out there, whether that's in the States or their own sort of talent pathway clubs or organisations, but also, you know, Luke in the role that he's in. Yeah, definitely ask him a lot of questions. We obviously, you know, watch them play football a lot and form our opinions football, so a lot of the questions probably come from more a character perspective and sort of how they learn and how they train as well. So, you know, it's definitely, you get a good insight from people like Luke.
How much weight do you actually give the character and of the kids that you're actually looking to draft? Like, how much is, I guess, talent and then the other side of things?
Yeah, it's very important without putting sort of a percentage on it, but definitely all, you know, those characteristics come into consideration from sort of a football game sense point of view, from an athletic profile point of view, whether, you know, we think they can adjust to the way AFL football's played or the way it might be going in the future, and then definitely the character side is really important. You know, not only whether they'd be able to fit into a culture, but, you know, what's their best way of learning. And so we know when they come into the club, that's a really clear sort of transition with our coaches, that our coaches feel like they already know them before they come in.
A player in the NAB AFL Academy is Riley West, a player who you guys have ties to as a father-son prospect, son of Scotty West, obviously club champ. Tell us about his development this year and how you guys see him coming along.
Yeah, Riley's had a positive year. He started the year with the Cannons, playing there, played in the AFL Academy game against North Melbourne, was you know, reasonably solid that day, and he's gone back to play school football with St Kevin's and performing reasonably well, and it'll be a big champs for Riley, like it is for all the players. But no, Riley's a really good kid, very competitive, and you know, he'll give himself the best chance.
Can you get him to the kennel?
I mean, I think it's a fantastic rule, the father-son rule. It's probably more a you know, rule for the fans in some way. So, I mean, an ideal world, you'd love sons of great players. So, I mean, obviously the system's a little bit different now with the bidding. So, we at the same time, we have to be really clear with where we rate him within the talent pool.
Have you got any sense of where clubs do see him fitting in?
Probably not a clear indication at this stage. I think post-champs it'll really start to sort of firm, I suppose, where we might see him. But there's a lot to play out still.
We know our listeners love father sons. We always get lots of Twitter questions about that. So you were appointed in December, started in Jan. When you looked at the Bulldogs list, what was sort of the most pressing matter that you thought, I need to sort of get onto this and address this quickly?
Probably to start off with, it wasn't looking at so much the gaps or the needs. It was really focusing in on the strengths of the list. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, high-end talent that's still really quite young and got a lot of growth. So that was, you know, a real positive in taking on the role that although they've demonstrated that they can perform really well in important games, that there's still a lot of growth, you know, just from an experience point of view, but also in terms of the attributes and growth in their performance as well.
Are there some gaps that you've already identified as well?
There's definitely gaps, and, you know, we'll be looking to, you know, improve all areas of our ground, really, you know, over the draft and trade and free agency point of view. I think the good thing with where the list is currently at and the strength of that sort of young core group is that we can be really balanced in our approach. I mean, the pool, the draft looks reasonably strong, that we can add to that sort of young talent, but at the same time, the Bulldogs have gone to the draft a bit as well in recent years and haven't been overly active sort of in trade and free agency, a little bit last year, but before that, not overly active. So there's also opportunities to be targeted in that space as well. So it provides a really good opportunity that we can be balanced and sort of weigh up the pros and cons, depending on the strength of the draft and availability of what's out there at other clubs.
A whole lot of this year has been the emergence of the last two picks from last year's draft. The first two picks from last year's draft. Sorry, it's early in the morning. I'm a little bit stomachy on the way. Ed Richards and Aaron Norton.
I love Ed.
Yes, Red Richards. Him. He's been terrific. I know Luke Beveridge keeps calling him Ed Norton, as in the guy from Fight Club. But what have you made of their starts? And they seem to be really impressive and really comfortable at the top level so far.
Yeah, they've both been really good. Yeah, I mean, Aaron coming in and playing a key position, you know, post down back straight away has been really positive. And it was disappointing he got the injuries because he was really showing some improvement.
He's shaping towards maybe being a rising star. Contender. I know Luke Beveridge has been sort of, what would you say, not so subtly suggesting he's right at the top of the ranks there.
It's pushing him forward.
We were hoping. I mean, he's had some really good games, so I'm sure, you know, when he gets over his injury and comes back into the side, that it's not too far away, hopefully. And with Ed, he's got better as well each game. And probably the positive thing with both boys is that, you know, they back themselves, and if they make a mistake, it doesn't alter the way they attack the next contest or make the next decision. And that's, I mean, easy for a young guy to, I suppose, go into their shell or not take the game on again. But both have demonstrated that ability that they don't get flustered at that level.
You were quick to extend Ed's contract already. Do you look at doing the same for Aaron?
Yeah, it's something that we'll look at, and we're having you know, constant sort of communications with all managers of those guys coming out of contract at the moment. So, and Aaron, I mean, they've still got, being first year players, another year. So sometimes, you know, things can just take a bit longer. But, you know, we see Aaron as a long-term player at the club and someone that's really important part of our future.
Been a bit of talk about the Bulldogs skill level, and I know even after the game on Saturday, Luke Beveridge talked about maybe some of these players just don't have the capacity to be the really skillful types, and sometimes that's just a limitation of a certain player that comes into a club. Is that something that you would like to inject into the club at the end of the year, these skillful ball users?
There's definitely an element of that, yeah. I mean, this year we've, you know, we're definitely getting the ball inside 50 and winning it around the contest enough. Yeah, probably statistically, I suppose, when we compare to other clubs, the scores from our inside 50s were a bit low. So there's probably a number of reasons for that we need to address. But one, definitely our ball use would be one area to consider.
How far down the track do you plan? Is it something that you're looking down? Is it a 3-year, 5-year, 7-year rolling thing that you're always looking towards? Or is it a little bit more short term than that?
You have to take it all into consideration. Yeah, short term, absolutely. But, yeah, 3 to 5 years out as well. So the medium and long term, and with the growth of our list, where we think it can get to, and then, you know, having pretty clear strategy, which has to be fluid, depending on, you know, can vary all the time, depending on the development of players and what's available. But a pretty clear strategy that we can refer to and guide our decision making.
I guess there's been a lot of talk this year about the Doggies and certain players maybe plateauing a little bit, but one player who certainly has continued to grow is Toby McLean. I know Ryan Davidson, our Bulldogs beat reporter here at AFL.com.au, loves Toby. have you been pleased with the way that he's developed this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Toby was one probably last year at another club sort of looking in that thought he really improved in 2017. Yeah. But, you know, he's improved again in 2018, which has been really positive. He's getting a lot more midfield time. His inside game's really coming along. But he's also got the ability to play forward as well. He played a lot of his junior football forward. So
we saw him take that amazing mark in his under-18s.
Yeah. Yep. So he's got really good flexibility. You know, so Toby's, one of that sort of core group that's still reasonably young and still got a lot of growth. So, you know, we expect Toby to continue to improve.
Jackson McRae's in that group as well, isn't he? Because he's on track for a career best year.
Yeah, he's having a fantastic year. Jackson, again, he's probably taken it to a new level this year, and there's still a lot more growth in Jackson's game as well. So, I mean, over the next few years, I expect him to keep improving. You know, he's really strong in the contest, Jackson. That's probably something that from the outside you might not recognise as much, that he really absorbs pressure really well, and he's really strong inside.
He just wants the ball, doesn't he? Always wants the ball in his hands. I remember in his draft year in 2012, a couple of clubs nicknamed him The Voice because you could hear his voice anywhere on the ground just screeching for the ball. The club brought Josh Jack into the fold last year. How have you seen his development this year? It's sort of had his challenges so far, but what sort of player do you hope he becomes for the Doggies?
Yeah, we're confident Josh will be a long-term player. You know, he worked extremely hard during the pre-season. His running ability from an endurance point of view is reasonably strong. You know, he's worked reasonably hard during the games. The calf injury probably came at the wrong time for him, but came back really well in the VFL and put together 3 or 4 weeks of solid football. So really deserved his opportunity. He's played the last couple now and started on the weekend really well. His first quarter was really positive. It's just, for Josh to keep working, getting used to, I suppose, playing at that top level again and getting that consistency. But we're really confident. Josh is a really good kid. He's got a good work ethic and really settled in Melbourne and at the Bulldogs.
It's a tough caper being a key forward in the modern game, isn't it? And I must say, it must be a tough caper being a recruiter looking towards what the modern game's going to want from a tall player in the future. Do you find that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we just have to be a bit more patient with them. I mean, they do take a lot longer. I think sort of history shows that with someone like a Tom Hawkins that he's become a fantastic player, but it does take a while. And, you know, we're confident with both Tom Boyd and Josh Shackey that they'll get to a really high level. But it just does. History just shows that it takes a bit longer with their development to being able to match it. So, when we're considering, you know, keys, obviously this year coming through, you have to take into consideration the modern game and, you know, the ability to, you know, get back on the ball and be able to defend. Every player needs to do it now, even the keys.
Is there another element to that in the under-18s comp, there's zones? So it's sort of a different style that the forward has to play in a way. And so making that adjustment to AFL level where they don't have that zones, can that also add to the difficulty of transitioning?
Potentially. They play slightly different at under-18 football. I mean, I think for recruiters, we have to see past that, and you know the decisions around those rules are, it's not for the recruiters; it's for the broader game and the stakeholders for the AFL to be able to assess things. So I'm not worried as a recruiter. I think we have to look past the rules. We're sort of definitely not in a position where we should think that it needs to be played exactly the same way as AFL does, but we analyse so much data and look into all that, so we should be able to make that assessment whether they can come up to the modern game. For the player themselves, I suppose that's then adjusting, when they come up. I still don't think it's as big an issue as what it might be sort of seen. I think when the ball still leaves the forward 50, that this doesn't mean they have to stay in the forward 50. They can still squeeze up the ground. So there's a lot of things that they can do as key forwards that are relevant to the AFL game.
The 2016 flag, and I know you weren't there at the time, but it has become a reference point in terms of the Bulldogs and assessing how they've gone since then. Do you think it's a case of starting again in some ways and tracking towards the next one, or do you think it's the place of the club on the ladder at the moment isn't reflective of the list and its ability?
It's difficult to sort of comment not being there in 2016 and what the strategy exactly at that time was. I think there's still confidence in this current playing group, absolutely. They've demonstrated in the past, although the profile's changed, there's no doubt about that, and there's been some injuries to some senior players who were really influential in that time that are still on the list with Torrey Dix and Clay Smith,
Dale Morris.
So, you know, it's a little bit of both that we, you know, we've got to look forward now, and you know, when we think we're really going to be, you know, playing our best football and having a really clear strategy around that. But
when do you think that
the,
might be
at the same time? I think that, I mean, it's really fluid in when that can be. I mean, at the moment we've, you know, we're disappointed where we sit. We think we're a better side than 14th, and you know, our consistency's been, you know, something that we're really working on, and they're working harder on the track. But there's full confidence in the current playing group that, you know, if we've got everyone out there and they're playing to their ability, that they can perform against the top teams, and they've demonstrated that in the past.
Got a few free agents on your list. We'll start with one of Mitch Wallace. I mean, he obviously missed 2016 as a restricted free agent. He had that awful injury. Hasn't been able to sort of break into the side. Where's his future at the moment?
Mitch is, as you touched on, I mean, it was a significant injury, and we sort of can't underestimate that and how long it does take to come back from those injuries. At the same time, Mitch has played some reasonable football this year when he came back in. You know, he had a back complaint during the pre-season, so sort of put him behind a little bit in terms of selection for the first couple of rounds, but came in and performed reasonably well. He's back out of the side now, but to Mitch's credit, he... you know, really good character. He goes back and performs at a high level at VFL. So, you know, we see Mitch, you know, as getting back to his best football to be a really valuable contributor. And those conversations with his management are ongoing between his management and the club. And we'll play out in the background. It's sort of hard to go into specifics, but we're really confident, you know, Mitchell is a really valuable contributor for the club, and we'll get back in to the side sooner rather than later.
What about Jordan Ruffhead?
Yeah, similar boat with Jordan. He's back in the side now. Probably with him it was a bit of continuity during the pre-season. He just had some little niggles and then missed a week with concussion, and then came back through the reserves through Footscray. So, you know, similar point, constant dialogue with his management, and you know, again, Jordan's demonstrated over the years that, you know, he's a valuable contributor as well.
Luke Dalhouse has had some ups and downs this season. Yeah. Have you rated his year, and is there any sort of discussion on the contract length? I guess that was talked about recently in the media about maybe that being a sticking point with his contract negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, Luke's played every game this year. I suppose he's had some good games, and he's probably had some down moments, but that's, you know, similar across the board, and that's something Luke's really working hard on to be a really consistent performer, and we're confident with Luke. In terms of the specifics around the contract and what's the discussions have been to date, I'd rather stay away from. But again, they've been positive discussions, and Luke's, you know, come out publicly and said how much he loves the place, and you know, we see Luke as a really important part of our list.
We're all shattered to see Tom Liberatore go down with a serious knee injury once again earlier this year. He's out of contract at the end of this year. Do you start discussions with him to, I guess, kind of give him that security, or where's his future at?
Yeah, we're having constant discussions with Tom, and the priority for, you know, which the club and both Tom and his management agreed was to really focus on his rehab in that initial phase. To get really on top of that, and to Tom's credit, he's you know, he's attacked it really well so far. So we'll get to that in terms of you know, I suppose deeper discussions at the appropriate time in the back half of the year.
So then it's more of a one for later in the year for Tom.
Oh, we'll just keep assessing it. You know, again, it's just been purely get his rehab, you know, right, get him feeling really comfortable back into the club. I mean, obviously when he first did the knees, he's away. Resting for a period of time, so he's back in at the club now and getting into more training. So it's one that, again, in sort of constant communications with his manager, and everyone's really comfortable with where it's at.
Billy Gowes has been a revelation this year.
He's been awesome.
We like what Bill's been able to bring to the table. Is he someone you look to extend early enough?
Yeah, Billy's been fantastic. You know, he's got some real power, a bit of aggression at the ball and man, and he's been important. He's kicked goals pretty much in every game, and you know, he's had other opportunities. He's missed some as well. So you know, Billy's one we'll definitely look at, and you know, with Paul Connors, his manager, to start those discussions.
How much has he grown since he was at the Blues? I mean, you would have been there in a different capacity at that time, but how much has he grown as a player, matured as a person to be able to produce what he has this season?
Yeah, he's definitely matured, Billy. His second half of his last year at the Blues was really positive. He did show some real development. He's just sort of filled out in his body and developed some real strength to his game and power to his game. So he's always had the talent, Billy, and you know, he showed last year at VFL football that he can perform really well at that level, and then he's been able to take that into AFL. He's got some really important attributes that that we see as critical.
Last one on the contracts, I promise. Marcus Bontempelli, superstar. We love him. Love watching him every week. Out of contract at the end of next year. Do you look at maybe extending him at the end of this year just to keep all the talk away from a distraction, I guess, next year?
Yeah, I think it's been reported that you know those initial discussions have started with Marcus and Tom Petruro, his management, and it's all been really positive at this stage. Obviously, you know they can take a while, and given that he's not out to the end of next year, you know there's no real rush right at the moment. But in saying that, it's all been really positive, and all the indications from both parties have been really good.
Does the prospect of anything being a distraction actually come into your mind when you talk of someone of Marcus's calibre, you know, in terms of getting something done a little bit earlier?
A distraction.
Or just in terms of next year, if he did remain out of contract for a little bit going into the start of next season, becomes a talking point.
It does, yeah. I think it's part of the industry now, and players have handled it really well. We looked last year at, you know, Josh Kelly, Dustin Martin, their respective clubs played well. They're able to deal with it. The players themselves are able to deal with it and play really well. So, yeah, ideally, do you want them to drag sort of deep into the season that they come out? The players of that calibre, of course, we don't. But at the same time, it's the industry. It comes up more and more in the industry these days, and there's naturally going to be speculation.
We like to take a wider look at the recruiting landscape here on the show. So we've got a couple of questions that we ask most of our guests. The first one is mid-season trade period or a mid-season draft. Your take on that?
Mid-season trade period. To be honest, I'm really open either way. There's a lot of considerations with it in terms of from either way, a trade or a draft, in terms of implications on the salary cap,
yep.
Even well-being and welfare of a player. It's a bit different, I suppose, trading pre-season when they've got time to move over and get settled with families to what it would be mid-season,
yeah, you're right.
And then have to perform at a high, or expected to perform by their new club a week later. So there's definitely some considerations with it, but in saying that, I'm open either way, and clubs just find a way to adjust now when those if there are rule changes like that.
Do you reckon the draft's too compromised?
I don't think so at the moment. You know, we talked about the father-son rule earlier, and I think that's a great rule for the fans. I think the academies have definitely increased the depth of the talent pool. And NGAs now coming in. It's something that I'm sure the AFL are mindful of to keep monitoring because each year there seems to be more and more. So they'll weigh that up, I'm sure. At the moment, I don't see it as a problem. I mean, I think for a club's point of view, it's probably that first and second round is, you know, where the real... that the club sort of would be concerned about.
You're going to protect that
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's going to be protected. But, you know, currently it's not an issue, and I'm sure that the AFL are on top of it and very prepared. Because we just see this year with the availability of some of the NGA guys that there's more and more coming through, and the academies are getting stronger in the northern states, which is a credit to those clubs.
The AFL academy structure has changed. It's been revamped for next year. What do you make of the changes?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I think anything at the end of the day that's increasing the talent pool and putting more kids in an elite program's only going to benefit not only the individuals but the clubs as well at the end of the day. So, I mean, there's obviously a bit to play out and you know, how it functions, but from you know what we've been told from the AFL, I think it's really positive that they'll have you know a really consistent approach in each state, and that you know, for instance, the metro sort of hub coach would be working closely with the TAC coaches and the school coaches. So it's a really clear message for the player that their individual development plans are really formulated together, and they're getting one clear message rather than, I suppose, a number of messages from different stakeholders within the industry. So I see it as a really positive move, and something that I'm sure will increase the talent pool.
And the prospect of a two-night draft, how does that sit with you? We still don't know what the AFL has planned for this year's draft and where it might be. Tasmania is still putting its hand up saying, bring it down here. But what do you think of a two-night draft?
I think from a club perspective, to be honest, it doesn't bother me at all. I don't think it really matters from a club perspective. It's probably more for the players themselves.
Imagine if you weren't drafted in the first 30, you thought you were a chance and you had to sleep on it another night.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's more for the players and probably an AFL consideration with how that sort of works from an event point of view. But from a club point of view, it's business as usual. I mean, we sort of wait for the rookie draft anyway, which is probably a few days later, so... without knowing sort of what it might look like, whether
they could join them up,
could join it up off the back. So it's not much more of a commitment, I suppose.
Final one. What's the biggest issue in the talent landscape at the moment?
The biggest issue, nothing that jumps out. I think the positive moves that they've done through the academy to increase the talent pool and probably the focus on key position and ruckman that. Rucks in particular, there obviously haven't been as many drafted in recent years. So definitely the focus on that group and the ability to put them within a program, which has been addressed this year and will continue to grow as well. I really think it's that clear message for the player. They've got a lot of commitments in their year 12. So consistency across every state is really important. That we have to be mindful that they've got an important year with year 12 and they're training so much with different groups, whether that's their clubs or their states, that to be able to really streamline that and work together as sort of talent pathway organisations over the country is really important. But I'm pretty sure with the new proposal around the National Academy that that'll address a lot of that.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Sam, for coming in and joining us on the Road to the Draft podcast. We loved having you in, and I'm sure all the Doggies fans, Cal, would be lapping this up.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we go, Cal, what's your song of the week?
Song of the week this week is Tools Down by The Presets. You a Presets fan? Remember The Presets?
Yeah, that one.
Your first new album in about 4 or 5 years, and it just came out last week. So it's
excellent.
Very good.
And did you get a free feed over the weekend at any games that you went to?
No, but I did get a free egg and bacon McMuffin courtesy of you yesterday.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
That's why I'm your favourite co-host, right? You're not going to replace me with Mitch Cleary.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
now, we get a little bit of free food just at the AFL occasionally. So
Cal's always on the hunt for a free feed.
And yesterday I missed the seminar that it was actually on, it was available at, and Nat messaged me and said, do you want me to bring something down? So very nice for you.
I'm looking after you. All right. Yep. Thank you, everyone,
Thanks
for
again,
tuning
Sam.
In.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
Sam. And we'll see you again next week.